I always forget to start that. Getting goods and services is as effortless as opening your browser or an app on your phone and placing an order. Amazon will deliver it tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon. If we want pizza or a burger or sushi or anything else, just open the app on your phone and Uber Eats or DoorDash or one of the others will bring it to you. It's amazing. Information and knowledge is exploding faster than we can comprehend it. And it's all available on the internet, on our phones. We've even got artificial intelligence that will go out and search for the information if you just ask it the question. I use it all day long, every day. In my IT business, if I run across a problem that I've either haven't solved in a long time and I've forgotten the answer, or it's new, I just open up ChatGPT and say, how do I fix this? And it tells me. And it's right about 99% of the time. It's pretty amazing. We have most of the books that have ever been printed available to us through apps on our phone. Communication has been transformed with radio, TV, first the newspaper, and then radio and TV. We don't even need that anymore. We've got news apps on our phones. We can live stream news and get that information. But when I was younger, we had the morning paper, which I threw in the morning, and we had a half hour of nightly news. Walter Cronkite would come on and he'd tell us what happened. And then we had a half hour of news, weather, and sports. I happened to watch WFAA, but everybody had their own. Now we have 24/7 news screaming at us constantly. Paula and I sit down before dinner and we'll turn on one of the news shows. And by dinner time, I'm ready to be done. I can't take it anymore. But there are people that watch it 24/7. No wonder people are upset and anxious. And the problem is, with all that information, you don't know who to believe. We have blue news and red news, and the truth lies somewhere in between. It's all filtered. And not only do they tell us the news, they tell us how we should think about it. Have you ever watched some political address where the president or somebody talks to us for an hour? I've watched it. I've heard it. And then for 3 hours, people will come on and tell us what he said. Wait a minute. I heard it. I don't need to know anything else. I heard it with my own ears. But it has to be spun. It's crazy. But our lives, oh, by the way, CNN, when it started, its motto, and then the reason it was trusted for so long, was just the facts. That no longer holds true of any news outlet. But we live in a world of giant multi-trillion-dollar corporations whose only motive is profit. And health, and the health and wealth of their consumers is of no concern to them. The food industry doesn't mind if they kill you. as long as you keep buying their products. By the way, you may not know that when the writing was on the wall for the tobacco companies, R.J. Reynolds and others, and they saw that they were going to be regulated in whatever, they took their profits and they bought food companies. And they took their scientists who had spent years perfecting the art of making tobacco addictive, which they did, they transferred them over to the food companies and they made our food addictive. I sat next to the head of the food science division for North Texas on an airplane, and he said, the magic of Chick-fil-A is that they've got the combination of sugar and salt that makes their products addictive. I've heard them talk about it. But our food supply is poisoned with chemicals. Paula and I have gone on kind of on a health journey, and we've started investigating. It's crazy when you start digging into it. There are over 10,000 chemicals that you can't pronounce that are put in our food these days. Much of it's GMO, and FDA, along with the help of Congress, passed a law called GRAS, G-R-A-S, generally recognized as safe. That was so food companies could add salt and sugar and flour and basic ingredients to their food without getting them certified. But they let the companies determine what is generally recognized as safe. So it's a free-for-all. We've got over 10,000 chemicals that are being added to our food at ever-increasing rates. And nobody does anything about it. They spray our crops with glyphosate because it's a genetically modified seed that doesn't die with the glyphosate. So we're ingesting chemicals all day long, every day. 90% of what's in the grocery store you can't eat. It's poison. And worst of all, peanut butter cups, Reese's peanut butter cups, no longer contain chocolate or peanut butter. Now that's really bad. It's a chemical mixture. Ice cream. Go to the store, look at the ice cream aisle. Half of the ice cream is no longer called ice cream. It's a frozen dessert. Why? Because it doesn't contain cream or it's chemicals. You can go down to McDonald's, buy a burger and fries, put it outside, the ants won't eat it, and 2 years later, it'll look exactly the same. And if you don't believe me, go spend $10 and get a McDonald's fries and burger and sit it outside. The birds won't eat it. Nothing will eat it. We have technology. We have internet. We have radio and TV. We have the most incredible technology that the world has ever seen. But what's lost is truth. We don't know where truth is. We have a media and a government and forces at work that are evil, that are trying to pit all of us against each other. We have these strangest groups of people that are being promoted. The LGBTQTIA, whatever. And transgenderism is a tiny, tiny part of our population. Tiny. But it's a major topic of discussion. We have criminals who happen to be illegal aliens, and they want to deport them. They rape, they murder, whatever, but they let them off. I know, what is happening in this country and across the world? We look at this and we say the world's gone crazy. 6 years ago, I stood, it's actually facing that way at the time, and somebody said, because I was doing a little bit of a prophecy series, somebody said, when do you think Jesus is coming back? I said, I don't know. But the longer he waits, the weirder it's going to get. And people looked at me and said, it can't get any weirder. Well, guess what? In the last 6 or 7 years, it's gotten really weird. But where is truth? Where's the church in all of this? Our churches are falling apart. They're increasingly peddling a watered down gospel. Why? On October the 31st, 1517, Martin Luther, who was a monk and theology professor, he had been upset by the Roman Catholic Church, the only real church in existence at that time, selling indulgences. They would go to wealthy people and say, your sins will be forgiven if you give X amount of money to the church. And they raised a lot of money doing that. They did it in order to finish the building of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, which is an incredible structure. The indulgence money was also going to the bishop's financial ruin where he had invested poorly, but nobody really talks about that. Martin Luther nailed 95 theses to the castle church in Wittenberg, Germany, to the front door. He hoped to spark a debate amongst the Catholic clergy over the indulgences. And if you look at his 95 theses, it spoke to the indulgences that were being sold. And he spelled out a proper gospel, biblically grounded. It did more than spark a theological debate. It sparked the Reformation, which brought about the Protestant Church. Now, if you think that I'm just after the Roman Catholics, our churches have become, many of them, completely apostate. But the Roman Catholic Church had become corrupt and apostate. They were looking for money. And they would do anything for money. Now realize that at the time, the Bible was unavailable to the layperson. It was written in Latin. It sat at the church. You couldn't get access to it. And truth became the province of whatever the head of that particular church wanted to tell you. And they used the access to that information as power. And they did it to maintain power over the people, over fear, with fear of their salvation. At the heart of the Reformation are five solas in Latin. And the foundation of all of them, sola scriptura. What does a sola scriptura mean? The reformers acknowledged the value of church council, historical creeds and traditions, but they maintain that Scripture is infallible. Only this book is infallible. It is sufficient. The Bible contains all the knowledge necessary for salvation and godly living. This book. It doesn't claim to be an exhaustive textbook for everything secular, but is complete in our knowledge of God theology. If I take the Ohm's law, if anybody's been around electronics, voltage equals current times resistance, and current equals voltage divided by resistance, and resistance equals voltage divided by current. Now, I'm an electronics guy, and I use that. It's true. It's been proven up. Is it in the Bible? No. But it's still truth. What sola scriptura means is that if you come up with something that's in conflict with what's in the Bible, the Bible wins 100% of the time. The Ohm's law is not in conflict with anything in the Bible. So there is no conflict. But if something is in conflict with the Bible wins. This book wins. So in this world that we're living in, where truth is an ever increasingly hard target to hit, we can be sure of the fact that when we're confronting these major issues of the day, the Bible wins. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That word inspiration in the Greek really translates God breathed. We have a book that is the inspired Word of God in our possession. They're down here. I'm sure each one of you has one upstairs. It's available on our phones. It's available on our tablets. It's available on our computers. You just need to go to blueletterbible.org. You can look up any passage and click on a button and you can look at the Greek and the Hebrew. And it will tell you the Greek words and then give them Strong's and their meaning. I use it all the time. That God breathed. I looked at that yesterday. It is great to know Greek and Hebrew, and that's a tremendous benefit. It's amazing what we can get out of the tools available to us online. But what's happening in our churches? There's a clip online, it's true, I've seen it. A transgender female pastor of a Lutheran church gets up in front of the congregation and says, Jesus didn't come preaching my way or the highway. There are many ways to God. That's in a Lutheran church by a transgender pastor. Most denominations now are affirming women's pastors. Women, black letter Bible. 1 Timothy 2:12 and 1 Corinthians 14:34 through 35. Women don't get to preach to men. It's black letter scripture. Paul makes that point. Is there something wrong with women in the church and doing work and teaching other females, teaching children, counseling men and women? My daughter is a certified Hebrew scholar and is part of a group of 70 people worldwide that argue over the Old Testament incessantly. She's one of two Gentiles in that whole group. Most of them are Jewish rabbis. She knows more about the Bible than I do. She does women's ministry. She writes books. She writes papers. She loves to preach. She loves to teach. But she's not going to get up and preach to men because it's black letter scripture. But most denominations have affirmed female preachers. The Baptists have been saved from that only because the African pastors in the conference voted the American pastors down. By the way, 1 Timothy 2:12, but I suffer not a woman to teach, no, nor to usurp authority over the man. The Presbyterian Church USA, U.S., the largest Presbytery denomination, has just adopted gender-affirming care in their constitution. Overwhelmingly. Recognizing transgenderism. Why? Read Romans 1 and 2. And you'll see what the Bible says about that. Here's the problem. Most people reject truth in the Bible because it does not fit with their lifestyle. They want their lifestyle and they want to feel that God loves them. That's been the whole history of the church. People reject the gospel because it doesn't fit with their lifestyle. They like their sin more than they like God. We all like sin. Every one of us. Steve Stroop was running sound for him one time and he said, let me tell you a secret. Sin is fun until it isn't. There is a penalty for sin. The gospel is offensive to the world, to a sinful world. Always has been. And the true gospel teaches us that we're all sinners and destined for hell. It confronts sin directly in its face. We are either doulos, slaves to the devil and heading for hell on the wide and broad road, or we're slaves, doulos to Christ. One of the two. There's no middle ground. But the church is trying desperately to affirm a middle ground. Water down sin. Define what salvation is. The Pope has put a prayer room for Islamics next to the papal conference room. Why? Watering down the word. Why is the church doing this? The same reason that the Catholic Church in the 16th century was selling indulgences. We're selling indulgences in the church to get people in the pews and pay money for these megachurches. Let's just water down the gospel to bring in more people and make them feel good. One megachurch pastor went to his elder group and said, "I fear that our church services have just become entertainment for sinners."
Yes. Yes.
And that's the truth. Paul said, "I wish you were like the Bereans who listen to what I have to say and then go back to their scriptures and check it out. Don't believe me. Go back and look at the Bible." And the worst thing of all is we've had this ridiculous argument. Well, it's just how you interpret it. No, that's what it says. Clear, plain text. That's what the Bible says. It's not just how you interpret it. Yes, there are difficult passages that have to be looked at in light of the whole Bible. Systematic theology. I get that. But they're few and far between. Most of the Bible says what it means and means what it says. Look at Proverbs 3, 5 through 12. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil, and it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects a son in whom he delights. Lean not on your own understanding." When you look at the Bible and look at the text of the Bible, you're going to say, "But I feel, but lean not on your own understanding." In social media today, it's popped up in the last few months, a real argument of Calvinism versus Arminianism. Now, anybody who knows me knows that I'm a staunch Calvinist. And I'm not going to get into that thorny argument here. But the Arminians are just bombing social media with these arguments. And it starts with, "Well, if you had a plane and if it was going to go, yeah. If you had a drug and it could save people and eh." Now, if you want to use scripture to reinforce your argument, come sit down and I'll talk to you all afternoon. And we'll have a grand old time. But if you want to use your own understanding and your own arguments out of your personal experience, it's of no meaning to me. Because this is truth. It's the full truth. It describes creation. It describes God. It describes our relationship with God. It describes how we get saved, and it describes our eschatology. What's going to happen in the world in the future? It's all there. How weird have things gotten? In Canada, they have a law called MAID. A man called a counselor in Canada, true story, met him in front of a coffee shop. They met in the psychologist's car. the psychologist said, well, you're despaired, you're depressed, so you're a candidate for physician-assisted suicide. Drove him right then and there to an industrial facility that processed dead bodies, put him in a room, injected him with a lethal cocktail, he was wheeled out, and his body was processed. Legally, in Canada, there's a young man sitting in a hospital with a condition that's difficult, and I saw this one this morning. They keep coming in, the nurses and the doctors, saying, just let us kill you. You don't have to suffer. Just let us kill you. And the changes in the law would allow the physicians to declare you a person who needs to be killed. This is the today in Canada. It's not isolated instances. It's also in Denmark. This is happening in the world today. What does the Bible say about that? Ten Commandments. Do not murder. Do not kill. What did Paul say about the end times? But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified according to the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. Does that describe what's going on today? And we see more and more and more of it. As the world gets weirder and weirder, which it will, where can you find truth? Right here. When people declare to you, well, but God really didn't mean, go back and read the truth. The truth is in here. This is a book and instructions directly from God to us. And most of these things are repeated over and over and over again throughout the Bible. It's a revelation to us about God and about ourselves. But most of all, it's about God loving us enough to save us, to send His Son to us to die in place of us and our sins. And through that, we will escape this crazy world and live forever with Him. These are trying times. These are very trying times, but soon we'll be with Jesus and we'll live forever with Him, without pain, without suffering, without sadness, without despair, without any sickness. And that's something to look forward to. Father in heaven, we thank you for your book of truth that we might turn to in these strange times. Sola Scriptura. We thank you for the reformers who brought this to us at a great and horrible price, that we may know about you and look forward to spending an eternity with you in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.